It's the Big Show. It is the Big Show. Although I think we should rename it the Big Show Light tonight. Because it's me, I'm Paul Wheatley. You may remember me from such other podcasts on this network as The Pocket Show, The Gamer Show, and some other dead podcasts from the past. I am standing in tonight for Mr. Ewan Rankin, who is treating his wife. It's her birthday today, so I should just start off with wishing Sharon a very happy birthday, many happy returns. Ewan's off treating his wife in some way, shape, or form tonight, so that's very nice. And I am joined here tonight with the British Tech Network's blogging panel of awesomeness, Mr. Paul Wright. How are you this evening, sir?
Good evening, mate. I'm all right. Been off for a few days. I'm back at work tomorrow, though. So, but 4 days off, 1 day back on, 2 days off. You can't argue.
Well, were you unwell or was it a holiday?
No, that was holiday.
All right. Okay. I was going to say, you're always unwell.
I've always done well, but as all of us understand on this panel, that, you know, kids and holidays and half term. Yeah. So,
yes, was it half term this week? Ours was last week.
Oh yeah, of course you are. You're different, aren't you? Mm. Yes.
Well, bizarrely, we're the only different to I think the whole of the UK, because Edinburgh is this week and all the rest of Scotland, as far as I'm aware, is this week. But my funny little pocket of the UK decided to be last week. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. My dad's up in Airdrie, and it's different up there as well. So.
All right. Halves just mean different things in different places. Speaking of different places, we have Mr. Robert Falk making a welcome return, his dulcet tones, to the network. How are you tonight, sir?
I am just dandy and fine. Thank you very much.
Superb. I don't think we've spoken best part of a year.
When was the last episode we did of that other show we used to do on the network?
Yes, the iOS.
What
show.
Was that show?
It was the iOS show. I don't know when that was. Was that last year or was it the year before that? I forget.
I think it was last year at least, but my memory is a bit fuzzy nowadays.
Mm, yeah, it was possibly the earlier half of last year. But anyway, it's very good to be on a podcast again with you, sir.
Indeed, I feel exactly the same way.
Very good. So we have some awesome stuff to talk about tonight. There has been some news in the world of tech, just a couple of things. We will be covering that and picks and everything like that and all the usual nonsense. But I'm going to start off by just thanking a sponsor, UK2. They are the awesome people that keep us afloat. They pick up all the bandwidth on the British Tech Network. They're absolutely superb. If you head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com and go to the sponsors link, you can see all the awesome stuff that that UK2 provide for the network, such as they can give you money off VPN servers, BPS servers, domain names, 20% off domain names, absolutely superb. And I personally can vouch for how fantastic they are in terms of support. I use them for all my websites and I never ever have a problem with them. It doesn't matter, well, in my opinion, it doesn't matter what level of support tech you raise. I normally, just because I'm a little bit egotistical, I always raise everything high and critical because, you know, it's the end of the world. But they are instantly on it. Even if it's high, it's very rare I have to wait more than an hour. Absolutely superb. They always go above and beyond. They're great guys and girls at the UK too. So please support them because they support the network. Wow, I trundled through that one. My goodness.
Fantastic.
that was not my best sponsor read in the world, but I think you got the point.
We did.
You had such a lovely, lovely description there that I think they'll be very happy with it all the same.
I hope so. Hope so. So we've had lots of good things happening this week. A lot of things kind of happening in the whole sort of financially purchasey side of technology. So, of course, we had Candy Crush have announced their IPO. On the face of this, I should rephrase that. Candy Crush have put papers in with the Securities and Exchanges Committee, which doesn't necessarily mean they're going to IPO, but it's highly unlikely that they won't at this stage. But I don't know. On the face of this, I kind of just saw this as another Zynga. It's going to come in, the stock's going to go up, and then it's just going to plummet, and everybody's going to go, it's the 2000s again. I mean, do either you see any benefit in this or anything?
No, I think you just said it there. It's the 2000s again. It's the internet bubble again, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think companies are actually forming in a way to be acquired. That's kind of that's what you do nowadays. You have a good idea and you just hang around and go, look, I had a great idea. and then you wait for someone to come and buy you, you know. And obviously the big stories of this week are exactly on those lines. So yeah. I think that's the kind of thing. I don't think Kazinga had a real terrible time after they kind of went public, didn't they?
They did. I mean, that was partly due to the whole kind of being, I think, what was it, something at the time? It was something ridiculous. Like, what, 60% of the revenue came through Facebook, or maybe even higher than that, I can't remember. But that maybe had some effect in it. The only thing that I saw differently to this, to the whole Zynga IPO, is that, and I didn't actually appreciate this happened, and I was listening to Tom Merritt's podcast, The Daily Tech News Show, and he explained that Candy Crush do this sort of incubation type idea with games, whereby they just launch a game on the web for free, and they sort of just let people play with it, and then when they find one that actually works, they then make it an iOS game and sort of monetize it, which I thought was an interesting idea. Don't know if it's going to save them. But it's certainly an interesting idea. I don't know.
Yeah, but I hate them because the wife was playing. I started playing Candy Crush. I think I was still on the Big Show about a year ago. It's like, oh, I'm playing Candy Crush. Started playing it and gave up. And then the wife got into it. And then I got a tweet about, I don't know, 2 months ago going, I'll beat your level 5. And I was like, well, I'm going to play again. I'm going to beat you. And then it's kind of, you get so far and it's like, well, if you use so many lives, then you've got to pay us money. Or if you go to the next level, you've got to pay us money. And it's a horrible way. It's even worse than the kind of freemium games in a way, yeah. Because you play it on Facebook and you expect it on iOS and things like that. But it's a really horrible way because they do find the most addictive game that they, like you say, they kind of go through the motions of what is the best game, mm-hmm. and they make it as addictive as possible. And then they start milking you for money.
Yeah. What about you, Robert? Have you tried Candy Crush?
I've actually managed to stay away from it,
really?
Incredibly enough. It's been pretty much everywhere as I can see in it. I mean, yeah. Twitter, even app.net's been kind of half-flooded with it, and people have talked about it. But no, I've steered clear, and I can see the appeal. I mean, puzzle games and all that stuff, definitely. But yeah, just like you said, it's too addicting, and then it's the whole freemium-ish angle to it, and that just doesn't quite sit so well with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something like if you get stuck on a level, you then have to pay 69 pence to skip that level. Certainly, that's my understanding of it.
You have to ask your Facebook friends to let you go further.
Oh, yeah, of course, that whole thing, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it ties in with the social network there, and you have to... Oh, great, lovely, wonderful.
Yeah, it's probably one of them things I've hidden on Facebook, so I don't actually have to deal with it very often, but... So that's Candy Crush. We will see what happens when the IPO, but I think we can predict it's probably going to go up a little bit and then come back down again.
Could be a good time to rev up your wallets and prepare to buy.
Really? Yes, but don't take any stock advice from us at this show.
No, please don't.
No.
But you know, it's like talking about Apple stock before and after the events they have. It'll go up a little bit, and it'll crash, and it'll go really, really high up afterwards. Yeah. It always happens.
Yes. There was a game I played. Sorry, I just sort of got off topic. But it's kind of on topic. But there was a game I played years ago, and I only just remembered about it just now. It was on iOS, and it was I can't remember what it was called. It was something like Zookeeper. Yes, Zookeeper. It was essentially Candy Crush, but with animals.
Aha, okay.
What do you do with the animals?
It was faces of animals. Hang on, I'll see if I can... Zookeeper iOS. I'm sure it was Zookeeper.
My Nintendo DS.
You destroy animals.
No, you don't destroy animals. So there was faces of animals. So you had like pandas and... Yeah. It's called Zookeeper. The Zookeeper Battles come up. I don't think it was Zookeeper Battle. It was certainly. So this is amazing listening. I know I should have really done some research before we started the show. Zookeeper DX. There we go. And basically, what it is it's Candy Crush, but with animal faces. If you do, if you just Google for Zookeeper DX, and you will see when you go into the iTunes link, you basically get pictures of crocodiles and hippos and lions and elephants and pandas. And I believe it's the same concept as Candy Crush. You just have to get these animal faces in lines. And
they
I played that a while ago.
Trying, were they?
But the thing, in fairness to them, I am sure this has been out for a long time.
Because Zookeeper's been out for a very long time.
I remember playing this a while ago.
And it was around even before that because I played it on a Japanese mobile phone back in like 2006, 2007 somewhere.
Okay.
But then But then, like I say, it's been out for a long time. I was just saying to Paul before we started the show, there's this kind of trademark dispute at the moment with this game called Candy Swipe that was released in 2010. And obviously, I said to Paul, I've read it on BuzzFeed, so you kind of...
It's a bit hit or miss.
It's a bit hit or miss, but as we did a bit of a Google search, it comes up more and more. But the story is that this chap had released his game called Candy Swipe in 2010. It's a game he released for his mother who was dying. It's a horrible story. He's released an open letter saying that they completely ripped him off. And if you actually look at the comparisons between the two games, they are almost identical. And I'm not going to go into the validity of his claim or anything like that. But if that is what they've done, it's absolutely horrible. So if that's the way they go around making their money, then who knows?
Yes. But as they say in The Simpsons, everything's stolen. The fax machine's just an awful waffle iron with a telephone attached.
Yes, it is. So.
Excellent point.
There are no clones on the iOS store, are there?
Oh, of course not. And that's a nice segue. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
And that is a nice segue into the Flappy Bird saga, which is still ongoing now. I think because I couldn't make it onto the big show last week, I'm assuming you guys talked about the whole Flappy Bird thing. I'm behind in my podcast as well.
No. I think it kind of passes by in a way.
Oh, did it? Right. Okay. So I'm sure everybody that listens to this will have heard what's been going on with Flappy Bird over the course of the last 2 weeks. But in a nutshell, essentially what happened was this game came out months and months and months ago. Somehow, over the course of December and January, it shot up to number one in the charts. There's lots of conspiracy theories and things like that as to why that happened, but we'll put that to one side at the moment. And basically, this gentleman who'd invented the game said that the simple game was ruining his life. It was making him too much money. He was getting attention from the government and everything like that. So he pulled the game, and then after pulling the game, he then said, and it was also because it was too addictive, and he didn't like the idea of creating an addictive product. So
fair enough.
That's absolutely fine. He goes in his merry way. He still has some games in the top 10, which is fine. And then off the back of that, we have just seen I don't know what the correct word is to describe this, but an unbelievable torrent, a tsunami of clones of Flappy Bird. I mean, everything. You got Flappy Fish. I mean, it's just ridiculous, the amount of these games, and some of them aren't even trying.
So I assume that the fact that he was kind of using Mario kind of pipes and that sort of thing, there's no sort of copyright in this. That people just take this concept and just run with it because, you know, if I'd have built this game originally and people, you know, I'd shut it down, and people came out and replicated it this kind of close, I'd be after them.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, as you say, some of them aren't even trying. I mean, okay, some of them are copied from Mario Brothers, like as in Flappy Bird was two elements of pipes and things like that. And it was kind of 8-bit, but it's just ridiculous. And I don't understand how any of these companies actually thought this is a good idea. I'm blown away. Maybe I'm just too naive in this, but I kind of feel like if you want to create something and put it out there to the world, I would want it to be something good. And I would want to be proud of it and stand by it, but I can't see any of these having a guy standing behind it going, yeah, I made that original, my own work, I'm awesome.
I wouldn't have put my name behind the original either, though. There were stories that this bloke was getting death threats, and I didn't kind of get sucked up, you know, because I think the one thing I do with the app store is I never download the number one app because it's just rubbish that people download. And Flappy Bird was obviously top for a long time, and then the story broke, and obviously he was pulling it off. And we found these kind of flash versions, and me and my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter, been playing them, and she plays it, and she's got real rage, you know, and she's like a proper angry, you know, she's a really timid young lady, and she's got real rage playing this game, and I've actually had to stop her playing this game. And I think the most I've done is, I think, 14 pipes.
Wow, that's better than me. I got 3. That was my maximum, and then I gave up.
I just saw the game ages ago, and I just gave up before I even downloaded it.
But what did he do? He was making 50 grand a day?
Well, you see, now, looking into that, that is somebody, apparently, lots of people have been reporting this, $50,000 a day, which is just silly money for, sorry, I'm just going to have to double check my, I can't remember, I'm sure it was Vietnamese, it was somewhere in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, I think he was from Vietnam, yeah.
I think it was Vietnam. I can't actually find anywhere that states where he's from just now. Anyway, I mean, that is silly money. in that neck of the woods. But apparently that $50,000 came out of sort of a, well, if he's getting X amount of downloads, and let's say he's monetized it in this sort of fashion, then he should be getting roughly this sort of money, which was $50,000. I don't think that was actually what was being dropped into his bank account.
That's what I thought.
So basically,
thought,
it's just a big guesstimate.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Cause I thought it was a crazy number to pin on something per day for a game that really no one enjoyed.
Well, yeah, and there was no advertising in the iOS version as well.
Yeah, in all the versions that I saw, that it's because generally the advertising is an Android, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an Android device, so I couldn't say 100% whether it was an Android, but I'm assuming that's the only place it could have been. I can't see where else it would have been.
No, it was. I loaded it on BlueStacks on my Mac and just run the Android version, and it was same way that Angry Birds came out on Android first time. It was free, wasn't it? And it was applied with advertising. It was pretty much the same way, so...
Yeah, that really bugged me. Sorry, kind of going off topic a little bit. That really bugged me. I carried an S3, Samsung Galaxy S3, for a few months last year when I was doing an Android project at work. And I downloaded Angry Birds to play for... excuse me, I'm going to start... Jeez, I can't talk tonight. I loaded Angry Birds to play it just in my commute and things like that. And I just kept on getting these adverts for the Croods, that film was out like last summer.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I couldn't work out a way. I wanted to give them money to stop these damned adverts coming up, and I couldn't work out how to do it.
There was no pro version, was there? No, without adverts. Wasn't.
No, I think it was the Star Wars version of Angry Birds that was playing. Anyway, it's by the by.
Tip to all developers, please have a remove all advertising purchase in your app.
Definitely. It would be very much appreciated. And I would happily give you money to get rid of that kind of thing.
Definitely.
Having said that, it's sort of against the whole British Tech Network stance against in-app purchases. But then, yeah, give and take.
Well.
There are some uses for it, what can I say?
But just before we move on to the next story, just a quick nod to Sesame Street, who I think won the whole Flappy Clone Wars with Flappy Bird. I don't know, have you guys played Flappy Bird?
I have not played Flappy Bird. It's in the direction of Flappy Bird.
So it's sesamestreet.org /CMS-static/Flappy_Bird. And it's exactly as you can imagine. You basically have to control a small blue bird that is carrying Bert of Bert and Ernie fame. Bert and Ernie fame. And when he dies, he shouts for Ernie.
Of course.
It's pretty awesome.
Oh, my word, yes. Yeah, well, I'll leave you guys to this. And I will... you can find me on Twitter at Paul, and I will find you... Oh, my word. No. Oh, sorry.
So we've lost Paul.
Yes. Oh, dear.
That's quite amazing. Oh, yes. I'm gonna leave that well alone. Thank you.
I'm going to have to break down the fourth wall here a little bit. Paul, were you going to talk about the Facebook thing as your thing before I go and steal your thunder by talking about it? I can't remember.
I was going to talk about Ubuntu phones, but WhatsApp is probably the big thing of the week.
Yeah, no, I was going to do that and then move on to you and Robert's stories. So I wasn't wanting to steal your thunder there. So
No, you're fine.
We will just get out some hammer nails and put that fourth wall back up again. And that's that done. And we will carry on with the show. So Facebook have purchased WhatsApp.
We saw that coming, didn't we?
We did. What I didn't see coming was the price tag.
I know.
It was very, very big.
I just can't get my head around that at all. I saw a tweet. Sorry, it was $16 billion. I saw another report that said $12 billion. So I'm
really... I saw 19 on some.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, I saw 19 on some.
So somewhere between $12 billion and... You know, when you're talking that kind of level of billions, what's an extra six, you know?
It's, yeah.
Well, no. Sorry, seven. I can't do quick math. But that is just silly money.
It's almost a virtual company in a way. I'm just going through a website right now that got the biggest tech acquisition in history, and they only paid $7.2 billion for Nokia, Microsoft. You know, it's ridiculous. And I think they paid $12.5 billion for Motorola. You know, it's crazy money for what it is, because it was just kind of, I forgot that it's a paid app, isn't it?
Is it really okay? So I downloaded it ages ago, and I
I think you downloaded when I did, but it's actually a 69p app.
Okay.
I think those of us who actually bought it in years gone by got it for free.
No, no, it's free on iOS. I've just fired it up just now. When you go into iTunes, the iTunes website, it's free at the moment. I don't know whether it's maybe just gone free or what it is.
Not sure. Some blogs were saying it was 69p a year when they were kind of calculating with all the users they've got, it only makes £620 million a year, so it wouldn't actually make them any money back. But I'm sure in the early days it was a paid app and maybe has gone free, but obviously maybe there's advertising and things like that. But it is a huge amount of money for what it is. But then if you read into actually the stats of it, you can understand what Facebook are doing.
Yeah, well, it's just all about data mining, isn't it, really? It's just about getting all that extra data out of all these conversations. I mean, all WhatsApp is, and excuse my ignorance here a little bit, but it is a messaging app. I mean, it doesn't do anything more than that, does it?
Yeah, but it's a cross-platform messaging app. That's probably the most important thing about it. You know,
Facebook have a cross-platform messaging app. This is what I'm trying to struggle with here. Or I'm not trying to struggle with it. I'm trying to get my head around.
But Facebook are losing the battle with the youngins, aren't they? Really, and WhatsApp is kind of like the Instagram of communication kind of thing. Because I look at the stats here, they've got 450 million monthly active users, 600 million photos uploaded every day, 200 million voice messages, 100 million video messages a day, and Facebook have actually come out and said actually they're turning over more data than we are. Even though they have, you know, a billion users, WhatsApp is actually turning over more data, and they need to do it because Mark Zuckerberg's kind of saying that he wants to connect the world, doesn't he? That's his kind of vision, isn't it? Whether he's doing it for a kind of personal gain or for a shareholder kind of gain, WhatsApp is a very good way of doing it, but the price tag just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
Because they didn't pay. Microsoft didn't pay that much for Skype, did they? And everyone uses Skype. We're using it now.
But I don't think Skype's as prevalent. I had a really odd conversation. It's funny you mentioned Skype. I had a conversation. I play Fantasy NFL with a few guys. We've been using Facebook chat just to as a kind of a conduit that we can always just kind of keep our conversation, so we're not doing emails and things like that. And we've added two new teams to the league this year. We've expanded the league and added two new teams. And one of the gentlemen that wants to join the league doesn't believe in Facebook, doesn't like Facebook, and he's not on Facebook. So we were having a whole conversation about what we should use. And these are all guys, I think probably, we're all in our 30s. I think there's a chance one or two of us is maybe just in our early 40s, but we're all in our 30s. Actually, I really hope they don't listen, because maybe they are all in their 30s and I've just insulted to them. But we're definitely all in their 30s. And I was going, right, what about we use Skype then? And they had never heard of Skype. It was like three or four of them had never heard of Skype out of the 10 of us. And they were going, no, I think we should use WhatsApp. And my problem with WhatsApp is because I quite like to join in the conversation during the day when I'm at work, and having the ability to join it on my laptop with Facebook and use my keyboard. I prefer a keyboard than a touchscreen for kind of doing stuff like that. And they were wanting to do WhatsApp. And I just thought, that's really odd. A bunch of guys in your 30s are actually preferring WhatsApp to Skype. And I just thought that was quite interesting that half of them hadn't heard of Skype and were preferring this app, as you say rightly, Paul, is more favoured by the younger generation as well. It's funny.
Yeah. It is. Well, I've got two mates who I meet at the pub every Friday afternoon, and I'll be meeting them tomorrow. But one's on a Windows phone and one's on an Android phone. I'm iOS. But obviously, the glory of WhatsApp is it's cross-platform, because there's an app for, you know, if I send iMessage to my wife, who's got an iPhone, she gets it via iMessage. That's great. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I'm using up text allowance, and if you're not in a very good 3G area, but if you've got Wi-Fi, then obviously a data text service is better. Mm-hmm. So WhatsApp really kind of fills that gap, and I don't think any kind of... I think I've had WhatsApp on my phone for, like, I don't know, ever since I've had an iPhone. I think it's been around for donkey's years, hasn't it?
I only found out about it kind of probably last year or something.
Yeah, I've had it for about 3 or 4 years, at least.
Really? Wow. Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The earliest I can find of it is a reference to being updated back in 2010. So I think I had it before that. So it's been around for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive.
For an app, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, the figure is mind-blowing. I saw a tweet today, and I have no source. I've tried to Google to try and find if this is actually true, and it might just be complete nonsense that comes up on Twitter. But somebody had retweeted somebody else saying that apparently the entire music industry is only worth $16 billion. The entire music industry. If that's true, which I'm not necessarily saying it is, because I'm just saying I read it off Twitter, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
And I found also, just to confirm, on Forbes are reporting definitely $19 billion in cash and stock.
Yikes.
And then it goes on to say that it was originally, I've seen reports of 12 and 16, but confirmed that it's $19 billion in cash and stock.
Yeah. But it's kind of short of Facebook buying BBM in a way, isn't it, really? It's kind of the closest thing to that, because it's probably the biggest messaging service outside that.
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
The youth love the BBM, don't they? So the only thing other than that is WhatsApp, because there are a lot of messaging apps out there. iMessage is big, but it's more almost a default thing, because if you text your significant other and they've got an iPhone, it does it automatically. But you're texting people on multiple OSs, and it is the one thing that, you know, data texting is the only one that does everything that you need, and it's on all the major platforms.
Yeah. So basically, all the things we talked about here, that's kind of the reason why Facebook did what they did. I mean, they have all these different platforms, interconnectability, interoperability, and, 400-something million users, and just, gobble that up and slurp it into their own database. Thank you very much, Mr. Zuckerberg.
Exactly. Well, what I like about Facebook is, I don't like Facebook. I don't generally post on Facebook. I have a Facebook account, and I have friends and family, and maybe the fact mum and dad are on there is a reason that I don't really go on there that much for those things. But the one thing I like is they throw a lot of things at the wall. They've just tried this new paper app, and they tried the Android launcher and the Messenger app, the Poke app. They're trying lots of different ways to engage their users in ways that a lot of companies wouldn't really throw the money at us. So they are really going to the kind of R&D. They've done it in-house, and it's not really worked. And obviously they're looking at Instagram. They bought them, didn't they? So, you know, they're looking where the youth is where the mobile kind of communication is. They're doing it all on mobile, and they're doing it on iPads and iPhones and on Android phones. And they're doing it in WhatsApp and Instagram and things like that. And they've got the money and the power just to buy those up. Because I think they were saying that WhatsApp had one lone investor. And he's singing all the way to the bank.
Well, I just found an article on New York Times that apparently WhatsApp has 55 employees, which is basically meaning that if in theory every one of those employees had an equal share of the company, which we know is not the case, but nevertheless, 344 million each.
Yeah.
Incredible. You just mentioned something there that's quite interesting. Do you think... And I know we have no data on this, and I'm sure somebody somewhere has written a report on it in the last 24 hours. But do you think that WhatsApp has 19 times more users than Instagram?
Well, I think Facebook, as you're saying, that is actually the case. I think Facebook,
really?
Mark Zuckerberg, as you're saying, that the turnover on WhatsApp is actually greater than what Facebook's actually doing on their own site.
But I can't get my head around that WhatsApp. Is 16? So I keep doing that. 19 times bigger than Instagram.
Well, no. I think it's a story we've gone back to on a lot of stories before in the past. Is that people use the default app on their phones to do whatever they do, and obviously the smartphone market is growing, and kids are getting smartphones, and they're like, what do you use to talk to people? It used to be BBM, and it used to be, you know, think iMessage and things. But people are going, well, look at WhatsApp. And I think that is the default app, same way that Skype is the default video conferencing app. You know, it becomes the default app. And so Skype is Skype, WhatsApp is WhatsApp. You know, Facebook is the de facto social networking app. That is worth a lot of money because of the – and they just they just want the data. They really want the data. And yeah. these companies are making, you know, WhatsApp doesn't do any advertising at the moment, which is crazy. So where the hell are they going to make the money out of it?
Time will tell on this one. Time will tell. But I don't think that they will make the money off of it. But hey-ho. Anyway, so, Paul, you were wanting to tell us some awesome stuff about a new phone.
Well, not awesome. The Verge are announcing that Ubuntu phones are coming this year. And I thought, another operating system. We've got Firefox OS and Windows phones trying to struggle through the ranks and all that sort of thing. And then you hear that they're going to do it in emerging markets. But apparently in 2015, a couple of household names are going to take them on. But obviously, with the dominance of iOS and Android in the first world,
yeah.
it's very hard to kind of dominate that market now, isn't it? Even Windows phone is finding that difficult. But my kind of question was, if they're going to target the emerging markets, Android's doing it at the low end, Windows doing it at the low end, Firefox is doing it at the low end, Ubuntu's giving it a go. Is there too much noise at the low end for anyone to make any sort of informed choice, really? You know, is there any way for actually kind of Android and iOS to swoop in and actually go with the de facto operating system? Because it sounds really messy at the low end, doesn't it? Because you're not going to do it, you know, over here and in America, it's iOS and Android. That's pretty much it. And Windows kind of sneaking in. But there's so many low-end kind of operating systems and phones sneaking in. And not to forget the Linux Edge Kickstarter failed, didn't it? So no one actually wanted that. And that was people who actually wanted the phone. So is at the low end, is there actually too much noise?
Well, it sort of feels like, do you remember back in the old days of kind of the late 90s, early 2000s, when you went into a shop, and I think I went in now and again with a sort of a phone in mind, mainly because of the game I'd seen available on it. But most people just went into the shop and they just wanted a phone that worked and was cheap.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see a lot of arguments around that in the whole kind of that's why Android's done so well case, which I don't buy so much anymore. I think it maybe was back in the day, but I don't think it is anymore. But do you think we're moving back into that space with that kind of low-end phones? So you've either got the people who can afford your S4s, your iPhone 5Ss, your Lumia phones and things like that, and then you get everybody else who just really doesn't care. And it really doesn't matter what's there, as long as it kind of does. They take photographs of their kids and they can use Facebook.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But I say it from a support point of view, because obviously I do a lot of support kind of work, and the amount of phones that come in, look, Android just drives me absolutely mental. Someone will come in and they'll bring an Android phone and go, "Oh, connect to our wireless network," and I'll look at it and I will like literally look at it for a minute and go, "Where the hell is the settings button?" Because it's like, which version is this? Who do you get it from? What have they done to it? What skin is this? And it takes me about 3 or 4 seconds just to go, oh, settings, yeah. But I think, yeah, you're right. People will go in and they'll go, I think if you go into a shop, they'll go, what do you want to do? They'll go, I don't want to do Facebook. I'll do me email. I'll go on Facebook. And I think the phones are actually purposely set up in the shops. They'll have like a Twitter, Facebook and email thing on the demo version to go, this is everything you want. And then they'll get them home and they're like absolutely confused. When they get down to the bare bones of what they actually want the phone to do, they get absolutely confused.
Yeah. But on the other hand, sorry, I've just thought of an argument against what I just said. well, you were saying it was sort of more in the kind of the emerging markets and things like that.
Mm.
So is there any news that these are going to come out in the UK?
Well, the only news we have is that two household names in 2015 are going to release these, and I can only think of two household names in that sort of market would be HTC and Samsung, really. But then Samsung are kind of they're skinning Android to the so much so that if you get an Android phone, people who have an Android a Samsung phone probably think I've got a Samsung OS, and obviously, I think the sense HTC skin's moving away, but I don't think people actually know kind of what they're getting. But I just think the kind of question I was going to ask is, you know, Firefox OS and Ubuntu OS, is it really worth trying anymore? Are the dominant forces there? Because does the introduction of a Firefox OS phone in your local phone shop, does the introduction of a Facebook button and a Twitter button and an email button, will that push people away? Because obviously, Motorola have been sold to Lenovo. I think the greater thing, and I pushed my dad to it, was the Moto G. Mm-hmm. Fantastic little phone, 120 quid. I think £11 on contract free. Absolutely brilliant. Does everything you want. But then there's no kind of there's no future in that at the moment because we don't know where that's going. So the low end in this country was almost kind of set, but now that's kind of uncertain as well.
Did you get any lower?
Yeah, exactly.
The limbo phone.
Yeah, and I think that's where Windows Phone might swoop in, because I had a friend of mine who's an old dear, and she had a lot of PC laptops. She goes, "What phone should I get?" I said, "Well, you get a Windows phone." She's like, "Why?" I took her to a phone shop, and I said, "Well, look at it." And she looked at it, and the internet button was the IE logo,
right?
And the email logo was Outlook, and she's like, "Well, I know what that is, and that's great, but." Because these phones are kind of, these new phones are kind of at emerging markets, and they haven't seen, emerging markets wouldn't know what Outlook is and IE and things like that. And a lot of people in the emerging market, their first phones are going to be mobile, their first computers are going to be mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's more noise in the emerging markets than we have over here, and it's confusing enough over here.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got Firefox OS. Windows, iOS, you know, if I wasn't kind of techie minded, I'd be really confused.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough that we are techie minded. We get confused anyway, because there's just, like you said, it's a flood of devices on any market. And I mean, there's not just the established systems that we like to talk about a lot, but like these really weird custom made, almost like Java based systems that you can find on knockoff phones from China. Like the Airphone and stuff like that. It's weird, ugly and stuff, but okay, it kind of works. And they're all battling it out, like you said, in the absolute bottom of the market, like where all the junk is almost.
Yeah, and all the different versions of Android, because obviously Android being open source, there's all these sort of rubbish versions of Android.
Really, really old versions too. That's the really scary part.
And I think in that market, I'd just love to go over to one of these markets and stand in one of these phone shops one day and just go, do you really know what you're looking for? And people would be absolutely blown away by, they've got a lot of choice, but it actually doesn't make it any better.
Yeah.
Probably makes it worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's, still the Wild West in some cases. We've kind of matured the iOS platform and the Android platform, but when you look down the line there, it's confusing, to say the least.
I still miss good old WebOS. It never really got the attention it was supposed to have.
I was really reminiscing of that this week. And that was a real miss, wasn't it?
You know, it's funny, I skipped the whole WebOS thing. I never experienced WebOS.
Oh, no. Well, the thing is, you've got iOS 7 on your phone, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you've not skipped it at all, because so many elements of WebOS are in your Android. And just the cards for multitasking in iOS 7, they're all there. That's all WebOS.
It's single best thing anyone has ever stolen from WebOS.
Yeah, fantastic. But it's all there, is it? All the things that are great in WebOS are in Android and iOS now.
So did both of you kind of cut your teeth on sort of smartphones with WebOS, or did you start somewhere else?
I started on iOS straight away. My first mobile device with an iPod Touch.
Right.
I was stuck in the middle of a contract, and I got the LG Beauty. I couldn't get an iPhone, and it was the worst touchscreen phone you've ever seen. You know, resistive touchscreen and all that. It was horrible. So I was kind of one of those people who carried a phone in one pocket and an iPod Touch in the other one.
All right, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I just went out of my way, when the first iPhone came out, just got an import from America and just paid the money and just dealt with it. And I've had an iPhone ever since. And I could move away from iPhone now with things like, I think I could move to the Moto G now, because I literally take my phone in the pocket. I do Facebook. I'll do a bit of Twitter. I'll do my email. I actually don't need this £500 phone to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think I've brought this up on the show before, where we don't actually need these high-end phones anymore. It's more mm-hmm. of a fashion status than the practicality of it now.
I think I'm the same, because I use my iPad for pretty much most of what I do. All my music's on my iPad. All my audiobooks and everything like that, and that's mainly because of we've spoken about this in the show before, but how good it is as a dashboard mount, and that's where I use most of it. My phone essentially is just for texting, checking Twitter, checking Facebook, and that's about it.
Well, that's exactly it, because I've got an iPad mini sat next to me now, and I could actually have like a low-end Android phone to do all my kind of day-to-day things, and if I want to do anything, you know, I've got like real investment in the apps in iOS, but they're on me. Because obviously the iPhone apps scale really well on the iPad mini.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
So, oh, yeah.
Very well. Robert, what did you start on? Were you just straight into the webOS?
No, I was iOS right away with the iPhone 3G of the modern smartphones. But I did actually have a Nokia something or another, like old school smartphone-ish kind of device before that, with the physical keyboard and all the horrible stuff before.
Oh, yeah, I did start before with kind of the old Nokias, and I did get the Nokia 5110, which had the slide-out thing like the Motorola Matrix phone.
That was just the slide-out thingy.
Yeah, but they were smartphones, though. I had that phone as well.
Yeah, but it had WAP.
It did have WAP, yes.
It had WAP, so I could scroll through. I did go some WAP
the BBC website.
Exactly.
Good old WAP, worthless application protocol.
Very good.
So that would be my first smart kind of thing.
I never thought of that. Yeah, I had a Samsung T1. You actually could play solitaire in it. It was the first phone I ever saw that didn't have Snake on it. It was a different game. I think it was a Samsung T1.
Was that the physical keyboard device or?
Yeah. I mean, this was way back in like 2000, 2001. Probably even older than that, actually. Anyway, I reminisce. I was BlackBerry all the way through to getting my iPhone 3, 3G.
I can honestly say I have never even seen a BlackBerry device in real life yet.
Really? Well, I only had it because it was where I was working at the time. That was the phone you were given, and they didn't mind if you used it for personal use as well. So I dumped having my own contract and just used my BlackBerry until such times as I had to get the iPhone is when it kind of appeared. Well, actually, I did. It wasn't when it appeared. I got it when it was a 3G, so I skipped the first version. Never looked back. Albeit, I did use a Samsung S3 last year for a bit, and I had a Nexus 4 last year for a little bit too. Nexus 4 was nice. The only thing that I didn't like about it was I didn't think there was enough audio out. So when I was plugging my the Nexus into my car to listen to like podcasts and things like that. Even with the Nexus up full and my stereo up full, I still couldn't quite make out what people were saying. Whereas like with my iPhone, the S3 and my iPad mini, rarely do I go past kind of the halfway point of the volume control. And when I Googled about it, apparently that was a common fault. Fault's the wrong word. It was a common thing with the Nexus 4 that it didn't have a good amplifier in it. Anyway, we've meandered way off topic, and we will just move back. So, Robert, what did you want to chat to us about this evening? What did you want to grace our earlobes with your dulcet tones?
Yes, I spotted that Dell apparently is the first PC maker that will actually adopt a wireless charging standard, which is somewhat of an interesting thing, I think.
Yes.
That we might finally stop having these cables and things we have to connect to whatever doohickey we have. That would be so wonderfully awesome.
It would, but I leave all my devices on my bedside table. And I'm going bald as it stands. I can't help but feel that a plate emitting electrical waves in some way, shape, or form, technology that I don't understand, cannot be good for my folic awesomeness.
I see where the worry comes in there, definitely. I mean, I have a son who's like 1.5 years roughly, so I wouldn't want to expose him to too many weird like radiation sources either. I mean, that's not the best thing you can do as a parent.
Yeah, so don't put the charging plate under the child's cot, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I mean, that feels a bit skeptical. But otherwise, beyond that, I mean, wireless charging, it's...
I love the idea of it. I'm just...
Exactly. I mean, as long as they finally execute it in a way that doesn't burn your hand or, like you said, make your hair fall out at night, that would be really, really darn nice.
Well, just a straw poll. How many devices are being charged in your house at this time? Because I've got a wife and a 10-year-old daughter, and we're probably charging probably about 11, 12 devices right now. And if I could kind of put that into one device, that'd be fantastic.
Does
anyone with families have this? Where's the iPhone charger? Where's the iPad charger?
Yeah,
and it's an absolute nightmare.
It doesn't matter how many cables you buy, because the amount of 30-pin and lightning cables I've bought off of Amazon, and it seems to be that no matter how many you bring into the house, it doesn't remove the question, where is the iPhone charging cable?
No,
I don't. Absolutely not.
I go. My wife gets her nails done once a month in town, and I go to Poundland. They do lightning connectors, and I buy one every single month. And I must have bought like 8 or 9 of them, and we still can't find the buggers. It's absolutely impossible. You know, they're bright white. They're like half a meter long. You can't misplace them, but they do just disappear.
I know
exactly what's happening. You have lightning cable gnomes.
I do. Bloody gnomes. Yeah, they're attached to their fishing rods. I would actually like one place in my house where you can come in after a hard day's work, just like lay your device down and just not think about it, because it sounds like a real first world problem, but it's that kind of thing, like coming in, find the charger, find the USB, and plug into your phone, plug into the wall, and then walk away, and then you probably come back 10 minutes later and go, is it charging, kind of thing. I would really, and like I say, the safety kind of elements are just, but I would like just like a little kind of part of my house where I could just put any of my devices down, slap them down, get charged, and come back in the morning, pick them up, go to work, and not have to worry about it. So it is a good thing. There's a lot of things that need to be looked at. Electricity is not the kind of thing that you want to take kind of lightly, but yeah, I think if someone like Dell is going to come up with it, then that'd be great. I think there are other companies who could probably do it better, only because I've dealt with Dell in the past and looked at their kind of work. But it could really be a good thing if there is a standard everyone would adopt.
That has happened in the past too. I mean, Palm, when they made, like we talked about, the WebOS recently, they had wireless charging for the WebOS phones, the pre and the pre 2 and even the pre 3. They had it. It worked. And HP now sits on that patent and all the technology and does what diddly squat with it.
So, yeah, I mean, but you could even buy iPhone cases that you put on your phone, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
It's already there, but there's no standard. It's all kind of higgledy biggledy, isn't it? So.
Yes. Now, I would like to just take the opportunity to thank Network Union for being a sponsor. They've been a sponsor now for a couple of weeks, and we're really, really chuffed to have them on board. Absolutely superb. They're providing the pipes to British Tech Towers at the moment, which is absolutely superb of them. Network Union are an authorised BT business partner who sell their global and UK services. Their expertise has been earned from working with large global and UK enterprise. But now we'll also work for SMEs. So basically, if you're part of the decision-making process across products such as wide area local area network connectivity, MPLS, VPLS, Ethernet, and Internet leased lines, they have unique design workflow designed to align to your specific organizational requirements to BT's connectivity products. What you need to know, that they are not a reseller. They don't add fees or margins. BT provides your contact support and billing. It's really no difference to dealing direct, but you get the expertise as an overlay together. So they just add that extra layer of awesome support over the top of BT's standard resources at no extra cost. So if you're an existing BT client, they'll instruct BT to look at repricing your connectivity even mid-term. So if you're in the middle of a contract, get in touch with Network Union and see what they can do for you. Everything for BT Business Broadband, upgrades from copper to fibre, new connections through to Enterprise One connectivity. If you're a new client, they're an ideal way to procure BT services across the UK for meetings and internationally if you're global. In a nutshell, they're exceptional at connectivity design and are able to achieve the very best commercials from BT, and they remain assigned to your account throughout the contract. The Network Union, support them because they support the British Tech Network. They are absolutely superb. So, in the meantime there, Mr. Falk accidentally fell off the call. Little bit too much wine, I think, tonight. So I'm just going to try and get him added back in. Are you back with us, Streak? No. Yeah. He appears to be on the call. So, I tell you what we will do. I will just head on over to Paul for to give your pick this week, sir, and I will endeavour to get Streak attached again in the meantime.
Okay. Well, thing this week, I've signed up to Xbox Live Gold this week again, mm-hmm. only because I want to play Arkham Origins online. But then I realised, in the same vein that the new PS4 network works, you get free games.
Yes. So, not as good as the PlayStation Plus, but it's all right.
No, I'm doing a month trial at the moment, so, you know, I'll get a free game. The game I got this week was Toy Soldiers Cold War. Mm-hmm. And I'm a tower defense kind of guy. Love Field Runners on iOS. And Toy Soldiers Cold War is pretty much the same sort of thing. So, obviously, you've got a bunch of toy soldiers charging towards your toy box, and what you've got to do is destroy them before they actually reach it. So, you've got all sorts of kind of things at your disposal, helicopters, you know, nuclear weapons, all that sort of thing, and you get to blow the hell out of people. And because they're toy soldiers, you don't really give a damn. So you get to blow the hell out of people. So one, the cool thing is Toy Soldiers Cold War, but number two is the fact that Xbox Live Gold has worked out that it's not just about playing multiplayer games. You should actually give something back to the users for paying the money that you do every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is taken from PlayStation, isn't it? That was there because PlayStation 4 started charging, didn't they? But as my brother-in-law showed me, that they get a couple of games a month, and obviously Xbox have woken up to it. So I think that actually is worth your kind of, I think it's like, what's 5-6 quid a month. So
6 quid a month. It's cheaper if you do it in the year. It's 40 quid for the year. But yeah, if you go onto eBay, you can usually find folks selling like year vouchers for cheaper than 40 quid.
I might do that after my trial then. But yeah, yeah. No. But yeah, my first game, Toy Soldiers Cold War, absolutely fantastic free game.
I would highly recommend that as well. I really, really like Xbox Live. I think Xbox Live is a better person-to-person gaming experience. But PlayStation Plus actually has the edge in games because the cool thing about PlayStation Plus is that if you own a Vita, a PS4 and a PS3, generally you will get one sort of, maybe not AAA game, but certainly a AA game, I would argue, for each of those platforms every month, plus generally two or three indie games as well.
That's what I want.
Yeah, so I mean, like most months I'm able to pick up at least four or five. I don't have a PS4, but I've got a PS3 and a Vita, and I'm able to usually pick up three or four games every month. Now, to be fair, I can honestly say in the last 2 months, I probably have added at least 15 games to my collection because they did a massive one in December for PlayStation Plus. And the nice thing is you don't have to download them. You can just add them to your account, and at some point at a later date, if you fancy playing them, you can download them, which is quite cool. Yeah.
I think that's the way the game is going now, isn't it? It's all kind of it's same with iOS. You know, a game comes out on iOS, and you see it, you've got to download it, but delete it, but you can always get it back in the future, can't you?
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool.
So no, I will keep with Xbox Live Gold if they keep this up. So
yeah, but I would definitely have a look and see on eBay and see if you can find find the annual subscription for cheaper, because it's definitely a better way to go. And quite often, if you keep your eye on like hot UK deals and things like that, quite often there's little loopholes appear in there. So a couple of years ago, a loophole was discovered that basically you got a month free. It was a month for a pound or a dollar, I think it was actually. But And if you paid it with a credit card, you got your month, and that was fine. And that was great because you got it for a dollar. But there was a loophole that if you paid for it with PayPal, something about the connection between it checking to see if you've done it before didn't work. And so you could just repeat it, and you were getting a year for $12.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'll keep an eye on that. Thank you very much. Thank you. I've learned something tonight. Fantastic.
Robert, what do you have for us this evening, sir?
I have a very silly little game to keep with the gaming theme we seem to be going here. It's called Dungeon Highway, and it's on iOS. And basically, it's the retro style, built in 2 weeks, of course. And you just run infinitely into the screen, and you kind of dodge obstacles, and you shoot the baddies, and they explode in a big, glorious, fountain of pixelated blood, or whatever you want to call it. Really silly, really simple, and really funny.
It's kind of a temple run type thing, is that what you mean?
Sort of, but it's more you have to like tilt your device to move sideways.
Okay.
And there's nothing to jump over, you only tap to shoot. And it's
very cool.
Just darn good fun and free. And it's retro-like, so what's not to like about that?
It's a bit Flappy Birds, because you've got little things you've got to dodge as well. It's fantastic.
See, it fits in with everything here.
Perfect.
Well, I'm going to completely break the flow. Not recommend a game.
Okay.
Have either you come across an app called Swell?
S-W-E-L-L.
Swell, I don't think so.
It is my new best friend. I only discovered it kind of Tuesday, I think it was. Or Monday. It was, maybe last week. Anyway, point is, I've only had it for about a week. What it is you know the whole Pandora radio services and Spotify radio and things like that, where it learns from your likes and dislikes when you thumb up things in Spotify and thumb down and so on and so forth.
Sure.
Well, it's that, but for podcasts.
I see.
Ah, yeah.
So basically what it is you go in and it kind of broadly asks what kind of stuff are you into, and then you just go. And it just plays podcasts randomly. And it learns from things that there's a little kind of thumb up kind of Facebook like type thing in the top corner. And if you hit like, it learns and it starts giving you more content like that. If you flick through it, so you can see it's kind of a card interface. If you go into swell.am and you can kind of swipe through, and that if you swipe through halfway through a show, you obviously don't like it. It's absolutely superb. I have found so much content that I didn't know existed. So many podcasts that I've now subscribed to in Downcast because I found them on this app. There's another little cool thing. You can actually say, right, I know that you've got access to like science podcasts and entertainment podcasts and just people telling stories and all sorts of other cool stuff. But today I really just want to hear comedy. And so you can say, I just want you to show me comedy stuff that you think I like. And so then they do like stand-up routines and like podcasts. Absolutely superb. I don't know why I haven't heard about this before. And the guys at Swell are really, really cool as well. I've pinged them a couple of times just asking them kind of basic support questions and things like that. And they've got back to me on Twitter almost instantly. They're really, really good, really engaged. It's a free app. There's nothing really more to be said. I would say download it. I changed my commute this last week, I would say, quite, and I mean that seriously.
Wow.
It's absolutely superb. So that's swell.am is the website, and it's just called Swell in the App Store, S-W-E-L-L. It's just for iOS, but I believe there's a beta available for Android, but you have to go to swell.am, I think, to sign up for it.
That's great.
Really good. Really, really good. And that's basically us. I do have a pick that I just want to add at the end for you, and he emailed me this just before we started the show. So it's a re-pick.
Okay.
He mentioned on the show, it was either last week or the week before, I forget, and it may have been the Mac show. They all kind of flow into one. But he mentioned an item called the Tough Tech Duo, which is basically a hard drive enclosure. And he absolutely loves it. He got sent a review unit from the guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it's absolutely awesome. And the guys at Tough Tech Duo have given us a voucher code for BTN listeners that will last until the end of February. The voucher code is BTN, so as in British Tech Network, BTN10, and that will give you 10% off other enclosures and drive boxes till the end of February. And then at the end of February, he's going to review pricing then. But so that's BTN10 for 10% off all the enclosures. And that company is called chno.co.uk. CHNO, as in the middle part of technology. Yes. CHNO.co.uk. And Chris, who has sent us that link, he's a long-time listener. So hi, Chris, and thank you very much for that. We really, really appreciate that. I was looking for an enclosure for a little 2.5-inch drive to take to Macworld, actually. So that will come in very handy. I will be procuring one of them from your website.
I will assume that they have enclosures with all kinds of nifty modern connections.
They do. That's very good point. Thank you very much for pointing that out. yes, they have all sorts of things. So the one that actually Ewan was talking about was a Tuftek Duo, and you can buy it either with a USB 3 or eSATA interface, or the other model is FireWire 800 USB 2 and eSATA. But they have all sorts of other stuff. It absolutely superb. chno.co.uk, and if you hit shop, and then it's all kind of categorized underneath that, so they've all sorts of cool stuff. But I've never played one of these, but Ewan says they are absolutely fantastic and he loves them. So very good. Thank
Sounds
you very
good.
Much for that. So that was our show. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for joining us. Thank you very much for your for lending us your ears, listening public. It was enjoyable to climb inside them for the last hour. so that's been awesome. So Paul, can they, do you just tell the happy people where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Paul Ums, which is PAULUMS, and hopefully soon picking up the bat and back at BritishSetNetwork.com.
Very good, very good. And Robert, where can they find your dulcet tones?
My own podcast has been on a hiatus for quite a while now, but just head on over to StreakMachine.com and you'll find all my writings and all the other stuff I get up to.
Very cool. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Paul Wheatley. You can also find me on this network on The Gamer Show. It's every second sort of Monday we normally bring the show out, so due out this Monday. You can also find me on The Pocket Show, which was supposed to record this week, but I had some broadband problems, so we've had to have a hiatus this week. So we'll be back as normal next week on Monday, and hopefully, Robert, you'll be able to join us then. He was supposed to be on this week with the lovely James Hart. Yes, we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So you can find me on the network. Please review us on iTunes, review all of the shows of the British Tech Network, but particularly The Big Show, because we're on The Big Show just now. That would be awesome. You can also get in contact with the network, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Google+, and all that kind of awesomeness. And thank you very much for listening, and we will see you. Probably Ewan will be back at the helm next week, you'll be pleased to hear. So Ewan, we'll see you next week. Thank you very much and good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.